go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 58 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Gonna try to make this episode a bit quicker, a bit more prompt than previous episodes. I'm doing a little bit of dog sitting right now. You might hear a little panting and whining in the background. That's from our producer, Maui, a golden retriever. And we have this other dog who's my brother's girlfriend's dog, straight from Brazil, the shanty towns of Brazil, 15 plus years old. This dog's name is Bijou. I gotta tiptoe around this house now, this studio, because she is pooping and peeing everywhere. She is not in control of her bowel movements. So I literally, every morning I wake up and there's just a puddle of piss on every floor of this house. There's poop. This dog has such a propensity for pooping, like right in the doorway, like right on that little level where you close the door, that little ledge you have right on the floor. She poops right there each one every morning, 3 or 4 times a day. I am of the belief now, after experiencing this the past few days, if you cannot control your bowel movements as a human or as a pet, it's time to go. They tried. My brother tried taking this dog, Bijou, from the shanty towns of Brazil. I'll say that one more time. They tried putting it down because the dog is clearly not enjoying life anymore. It's walking around aimlessly. It's kind of blind. It's bouncing off walls. It's getting its head stuck in railings. It's a sad sight to be seen. We don't like seeing it, but it comes to a point. Comes to a point where the vet's got to put you down. The vet would not put this dog down. The vet was saying that the heart is still beating. The vitals are all still stable. But man, all I'm saying, once you have to put a catheter in me, once I need a diaper, it is time to cremate me and say goodbye. So to anybody listening to this, if I get to that point where I can't walk and I'm pooping on the street, just send me to the euthanasia clinic and have them do away with me. And don't throw my ashes in the ocean, because as we know, I am done with the ocean. Okay, with all that preamble out of the way, I don't know how it's come up on my feed. Oh, hello. You want to make it? Can you see? Oh, there's Maui in the camera. That's our first guest. This has been my producer for every episode. Say, Maui, say hello to everybody. Go get the ball. Go get the ball. All right. It's going to be a bit of a hectic episode. So if you're listening on podcast form, come on YouTube and watch the video, and you'll get to see Maui and maybe some other dogs while walking through the screen. But on my feed on YouTube, and I watch a lot of YouTube videos throughout the day while I'm supposed to be working. Oh, Maui. I've been noticing this form of podcast video. Let me set the scene. It's 2 or 3 ladies dressed up in their PJs, their pajamas, in their bedroom or their living room, and they're just talking about their life, their weekend. They're pretending to be influencers, but I look at their videos, and all of them tend to have fewer than 10,000 views, which, I'm not throwing shade. I get fewer than 10 views most episodes, but they don't talk about anything. Like, they just talk about their life. They talk about all the guys they fucked. They're kind of doing, it's kind of a call her daddy light type podcast, all of them, and they're all the same. There's nothing that differentiates one from the next. Two of these girls, some of the girls will be a little bit more sexual in their content. Inevitably, this is what happens with all of them, because I've been watching them all week. They talk about how slutty they are, and then inevitably, one of the 2 or 3 babes on the show gets engaged, and then they start talking about their wedding, which to me is very awkward. It's like, oh, now you're in love after you've been sleeping around in New York City or Chicago for the last 4 or 5 years, not judging. Actually, I am. Yeah, I am judging. And this is also what happens with these shows. It always starts out with two or three babes, and one of them always drops out, and then they have to rebrand it and rename the show with just one lady or two ladies because they don't want to give money to the person who dropped out. That's why I did not get a co-host for the show, because I know I am very diligent. You know, I put these episodes out every week. I make it a priority. And I honestly just don't trust others, especially comics, when it comes to work ethic. Aw, I'm sorry. Can you give me a half an hour, Maui? Aw, look at her. Look at him lick my face. I call her a her. Maui is a man, but I call her a her just because Maui does seem like a female name. And also, there's four other dogs in my family, four or five, or maybe six. There's a lot, but they're all female. So this is the one guy dog who will actually play catch with me. All the other dogs do not like to play catch with tennis balls. Oh, please don't knock that wire over. All right. Let me just say this about podcasts too, now that we're on the topic. I have convinced myself, I truly do believe that podcasts are, it's a Ponzi scheme. That's all podcasting. That's really all media is. The goal is to get a guest with more of an influence, more of a following on your show. And when that person comes on your show, you'll get more eyeballs on your show. And then hopefully your show gets high enough in ratings where other people who are higher than you on the pyramid scheme will invite you on their podcast. And then when you get towards the top of the pyramid, all the top podcasts have each other as guests. And you'll notice that in the comedy or whatever genre of podcast you watch, where it's just a rotation of, I don't know, 20 to 30 people who are all on the same five or six podcasts, and that's kind of how they make a living. I am far from that. No one's ever asked me to be on their podcast because, again, we only get 10 views per episode usually. All right, well, Maui's trying to lick my crotch. Let's get into something I found on Reddit, if I could find it. All right. This one comes from the subreddit. You want to read it, Maui? You want to read it for us? Maui doesn't know how to read. We were terrible parents. We did not teach our dogs how to read English. Comes from the subreddit No Surf. Being bored is a superpower. As I was riding on the metro, I noticed everyone's face glued to their phones. Later, I went on a walk by the park and I noticed the same. When I went to get food, people were on their phones as they waited for their order, even when they were accompanied by other people. I can't explain why, but it grieved me to see. It was as if people had chains on them and were unable to experience the beauty of the moment. It was a beautiful day, perfect weather, nice breeze, birds chirping. I was content. I knew I could get a quick hit of dopamine by my ever-present pocket brick, I believe that means phone, but I felt good, alive, hopeful, happy just to be here. It was then that I noticed how uncommon it has become to enjoy the present moment in its fullness, leading me to the conclusion that being bored is a superpower. You're molesting the term superpower. What you have and what you're describing is willpower. You know, it's not a superpower. Being able to not look at your phone, it's you have willpower not to reach in your pocket and scroll through Instagram or X or Snapchat or whatever slutty social media app that you use. I still don't really understand what an app is. Have been giving this one a lot of thought myself before I even read this one. And I do concur with everything this babe said. I do a lot of road running. I've mentioned this. There's a trail in Cheshire, Connecticut that I run on. And there have been so many times, I don't know, it's like every half mile, there will be a bench. And every once in a while, I will see two kids, 10, 12 years old, boys and girls, both sexes. And they'll be there. They'll have their bike. And the two kids will be on the bench, just scrolling through their phone, not talking to each other. And I look at that scene in my head. I think, why are you not enjoying childhood? Childhood goes by like that. I know you don't realize it at that age, But at 12 years old, you should put the phone down, get off the porn, get off the gossip of your middle school, go in the woods, light some fires, go start prank calling your neighbors, order 12 pizzas to your neighbor across the street. The B-Man did that one time with his friends. Make some potato guns, play with your dogs, play some video games, go swimming. Invent games where you kind of have to hit each other, kind of like hazing. Find some hazing games. Kids are good at that. But looking at their phones, it is depressing. It is sad because these kids are just wasting their childhood. And I can't chastise these kids. I can't do it. I can't tell you how many times. I'm the same way. I'll be at a comedy gig, just doing the chuckles. We're all having a good set. Afterwards, all his comics will be outside on the patio, chopping it up, rapping with each other. And inevitably, I'll look around, and every one of us, not me, I don't, will be smoking weed and scrolling through their phones. And I'll take a stock image of all of us there, and there have been times when I've called everybody out, and I go, what are we doing? What are we doing right here? That we are... Oh, 5 to 10 of the funniest people in Connecticut. Like we go on stage in front of strangers and make people laugh their asses off for 5 to 10 to half an hour straight. We have the capability to do that. And yet when we're together, the five of us, just trying to chop it up, we're not talking to each other, busting each other's balls. It is depressing. It does make me grieve. So I am there with you. It's not going to change, though. I mean, let's be honest. We're all going to look at our phones. We are addicted to that dopamine rush. And quite frankly, looking back at history, it hasn't changed that much. If you look at, and I have, if you look at photos, our old video, stock video of the subway or the trains in the 1940s and 1950s, you'll see everybody there on the train has their arms widespread reading the newspaper. That's just the technology they had back in that day. So that's what they were doing to avoid having to look at everybody else. And it's the same thing we're doing today. It's just the technology is upgraded a little bit. So yeah, we're scrolling through our phone. Back in the day, they were looking at the newspaper 5,000, 10,000 years ago. They were probably looking at the hieroglyphics, pictures of dogs on the cave wall. Is that no, humans don't want to interact with each other? Let me explain it to you this way. Sometimes I'll think about horrendous people like Stalin, Hitler, and Mao, who have killed tens of millions of people. And you think, wow, how could somebody do that? But then I'll think about myself and go, oh, there have been countless times where I've been on the Metro North going to New York City, sitting next to two strangers for 2 hours, and I don't make eye contact with either of them the entire ride. That is a little psychotic. That does show you that humans do not like each other, especially if it's strangers. We'll do anything not to interact with each other. And that is a little Stalin, Hitler, Mao-esque. Not saying it's, you know, it's full genocide, but you could see how the mind could go there. What do you want us all to do? The phone is more captivating than nature. Now, how often can you look at a tree before you go, fine. It's why I'm not drawn to beach vacations. You send me to a beach, I look at the ocean, I look at the waves, the sunset. After 25 minutes, where's my Heineken? I'm bored of the view. It's why I've always been a city guy. At least with that, the stimulation, I could every block, every time you turn a corner, you can find a new store, a new hole in the wall to go into. Like, that's more entertaining to me than a beach. I've also had this theory. I have a theory. Sometimes I've asked people. I go, hey, if you could go to space, she cut my wire. Okay, you go to space, right? You go to space. You're on a spaceship. You're looking at Earth. The ground, if the Earth is round, you're looking at it. Like, how long would you look at the Earth before you get bored and start looking at your phone? 5 minutes tops. 5 minutes tops before I'd be scrolling through Instagram, looking at butts and assholes and boobies and some art. That's just how the mind is. Nature is a little vastly overrated. It's kind of boring. It's why we all drink. It's why we all do drugs. After age 20, life is boring. There's a reason why there are so many alcoholics. Because going about your day in sobriety, looking at nature, it's mundane. You need some stimulation. So be thankful we have the phones. It is odd, though, that alcohol and drugs are still a thing. There's a way I think about it, with how far technology has come, with how many different avenues there are to distract our mind. Humans, we still go to alcohol and illegal substances to make ourselves inebriated. You would just think that after a while, we wouldn't need those substances, that there would be enough technology, enough screens that would be sufficient enough for us, but apparently not. All right, I'm going to go try to calm down Maui for a bit, and then we'll get back to another segment. We're back, segment 2, episode 58. You ready for this, Maui? You ready? You're going to get behind a board, press the record button, or are you just going to play with your little toy, like all my other producers do? I guess you're just going to play with a toy. All right, two more things I also want to point out. One, my phone is being molested with Kamala Harris political ads asking for $10, $15, $20. I've never given money to any political person, so I don't know why I'm getting these. Are any of you, are you getting these 202 numbers or 906 numbers with a long text message with photos of Clinton and Obama and you know, the whole DNC crew? I don't know how they got my number, but they're after us, and it makes me think that she's going to win the election. Don't care who you vote for. My advice is don't vote. They never do what they say they're going to do. Other than line your own pockets, don't hate them, because I'd do the same thing if I was elected president of the United States of America. Two, on my feeds, on my scroll, on my Instagram feed, I'm noticing, I don't even know how to describe these. Greek life, sorority house, pledge videos where there'll be 100 pledges in front of the sorority house, all white, which is whatever, good, I guess, but I prefer Hispanics, but white people, okay. And I am pro sorority life, but I ride or die with Alpha Pi from, where is it? Arizona State University, Alpha Pi. I've been following them for 2 years on Instagram. Very active account. Love all those gals. Heart emoji, fire emoji to all you at ASU. But all these other sorority girls, there was a time when I would love this, would want to be in that house, would want to interact with all these babes. As a 40-year-old, gotta admit, it is terrifying. Okay, let me set the scene. All right, you have the sorority house with the Greek pillars, and then you have white women pledges on the ground and then on the balcony, and then in front of everybody, there's usually a group of 10 gals doing some type of choreographed dance. That's what I'm interested in, is the politics behind the layering. Like, how do you get to be the 10 up front? And I'm curious, because every one of these pledge videos that I've seen, and I've seen a lot of them, every sorority house in the South is putting out these videos, is there's always a chubby babe. There's always a potato head that's in that dance crew. And it would seem to me that if you want to show your sorority in the best light, you'd have the 10s up front. You'd have the hotties of the hotties up front, and you would hide the potato, the chubbies in the back on the balcony, like third row behind everybody, so you could only see their face, not their body. But somehow, all these videos, there's a potato doing the dance, and in a couple of them, like, she's been the lead lady, you know, like the Taylor Swift spot. How does that happen? How does that happen? I want to know the politics to decide who gets to be one of the dancers up front, one of the stars. Because, you know, if you're in a sorority house with your 200 sisters, that's a lot of estrogen. That's a lot of ego. That's a lot of drama. I want a podcast, somebody, a documentary next year showing us how these houses decide who gets to be in the dance and who gets stuck, you know, in the fourth row where you could barely see their forehead. That's what I'm interested in. One more thing I'll say about these sorority people, these babes, these pledges. They're terrifying. They are clearly terrifying. If we ever have a war that comes to our shores here in the U.S., where it's Russia, China, Iran, whatever country, put all these sorority girls on the front line and have them do their dancing, because that will make the Chinese get on their ship, battleship, and just go back across the Pacific, back home. They'll want no part of us, because I see that video, and I don't know who those babes are, but that's a different species than who I am and who I think the rest of you are. They are memorizing. It's both entertaining and horrific and terrifying all at the same time. It's looting my brain. It's what these videos are doing. I try to stay focused on funny, but then I watch one of these sorority house pledge dance videos, and it's looting all of my thoughts, and I cannot focus on the tasks that I have at hand, which is frustrating. So let's move on to something else I found on Reddit as Maui sleeps behind us. I found this on the subreddit X Red Pill. Is that even possible? Low-key wish I was a woman. I'm a relatively attractive male. Okay. So if I was a woman, I would assume I would be attractive as well. Well, what an assumption. I used to be red-pilled ASF as fuck, but I stopped 2 years ago. I don't know if this is fucked, but in my opinion, if you're an attractive woman, it would be really easy to get older men to try to have sex with you. And like, if I was a woman, I think it would be kind of funny to get my teachers to fall in love with me and extort them for money. I don't know if this is fucked up, but if you read this, thanks, IG. It's quite an assumption that you make that you're just because you're an attractive guy, that means you'd be an attractive babe. I highly doubt that. My reason being, if you're an attractive guy, you're probably over 6 foot. And that means if you were a babe, you'd probably be a taller babe, let's say 5'9 or taller. And studies have shown that the taller you are as a lady, the more difficult it is to find a partner or get married. It's just that's what the stats say. And I also question if you were actually red-pilled, because those of us who are red-pilled, and to be man, I am red-pilled, we know that from watching The Matrix, so once you take the red pill, there's no going back. So if you're red, if you really are red-pilled, like you said you are, you can't go back. And you said you went back, which makes me question if you were ever there in the first place. I'm very thankful. I'm thankful to God or whoever's up there making humans that God did not give you womanhood, because you are wasting your womanhood if you did have it. Because all I could hear, you hear that? Do you hear that? It's all the teachers laughing at you. You want to extort teachers out of money? Do you know how much teachers make, sir? Poster on Reddit? Most teachers, at least in the Northeast, probably average, I don't know, $80,000 if you've been teaching, you know, 10 years. Professors, who the fuck knows, $100,000 if you're not, you know, publishing a bunch of books. So there's no money to extort from a teacher. So right there, you're wasting your beauty. Now, which is just a waste. So honestly, of teachers, do you remember being in high school? You want to, as George Costanza said, and Seinfeld said in the show Seinfeld, you know, there's nothing wrong with being gay, but you're a little gay, but the gayness you're showing me is wrong, and I'm judging it. And I say so because you want to have a sexual relations with a teacher. with an old, crusty, just a white button up with a stain with the chino pants that aren't in style and the frizzy hair. That's who you want to extort. That's who you want to fall in love with you. That's a weird kink you have in your gayness. So yeah, I'm judging you for that. Now, if you said, "Hey, I want to have a sexual relations with a hot 23-year-old new first year phys ed teacher, so that I don't have to run the mile, in gym class," I'd fuck with that, but not this, not with what you're trying to do. This is what you should do, though, if you were a woman, an attractive woman that a red pill guy like myself would want or be interested in. So let's say you're 18 to 25. That's, as a woman, as a babe, that's when your sexual market value is at its highest. That's when you're the most fertile. That's when you're the healthiest you'll ever be, knock on wood, if you have a long life. So those are your peak years. That's when you want to extort men. Don't be hanging out on a high school campus. If you're between the age of 18, 25, and you're an attractive babe, you want to be spending your times at country clubs, high-end nightclubs, high-end restaurants, country clubs, like day clubs, anywhere where it's exclusive, where only people of a certain level of wealth are allowed in, where there's a membership fee, that's where you want to go. If you're in a city, whatever city you're closest to, go there, find the highest building. That's probably the financial center of that city. That's where all the financial guys work. Find the closest steakhouse to that building and just set up shop there. Right? Go there at 6 p.m., 5:30 p.m., wear a cocktail dress. A cocktail dress that's not slutty enough where people, they think you're a prostitute, but it is slutty enough where you're letting all the finance guys, the guys with the moolah, the guys with influence, to let them know that, hey, you're ready to play ball. You're ready to be taken home and play that game of extortion with them. So you just sit at the bar, cross your legs all nice, wear a perfume, and just see who comes up to you and play the game. Play the game, chat with them, twirl your hair, find out what their finances are. And if there are enough zeros in the bank account, in your investments, that's who you want to extort. That's who you want to put your boobies on, your barely legal titties on, and you want to take that guy for everything he has. You want to marry him, wait a few years, have a kid, then divorce him and take him for half his wealth. That's what you want to do. Do not take it from a teacher. Take it from a guy that there's actually something to extort from him. And again, that's usually finance. That's usually an athlete. That's usually, I don't know. I don't really hang out with people with money. So whoever has the money, find those people. And that expensive steakhouse next to the big financial building in whatever city you're in, that's where they hang out after work. That's where they're sipping their cocktail. That's where they're bitching to their other colleagues about their wife not giving them head and bitching about them, not doing enough work around the house, even though that they're paying for the kids' camps and private school, and they're driving in an Audi SUV that all come from him. But you're not there yet. You got to understand, your beauty is a depreciating asset. So you got to take advantage of it while it has value, because that's when you got to trick the guys. That's when it's easy to trick the guys. As a lot of comics have said, pussy doesn't age like wine. Like it's the best in your early 20s, and then it gets more foul each age you progress. So 18, 25, go to those places with a membership fee where all the influencers, the people with power and money are at, and go get their money. Go get their gold. And what you should do, since you're never going to be able to be a woman and you're never going to be able to extort them or with your beauty is, as a guy, as an attractive guy, your only option is to start a crypto pyramid scheme. Plenty of guys have done it. Bakeman, Fried, some other guys. Just follow their steps and make some new altcoin. To you and to everybody else and to everybody, go suck a fat one.